This is Bob Rule at KPIN Radio. You are about to hear the second of two forums held in early August preceding the primary election of 2010 in Sublette County. This forum was held at the Marbleton Town Hall, and the Marbleton Town Hall meeting room uses wireless microphones. Now, we've used wireless microphones before, but we found out something after the event was over. These wireless microphones use infrared light to connect the microphone to the receiver. And as a result, if the person speaking wrapped their hand around the bottom of the microphone where the infrared light sender was, the microphone either crackled or completely cut out. We didn't discover this until after the forum was over. So if anybody does another forum like this in Marbleton Town Hall, don't hold the bottom of the microphone, hold it by the middle, and it will work fine. We apologize for the audio that does cut out from time to time during this broadcast. Here now is the recording of the second forum held on August 5th, 2010.
Good evening, everyone. This is Zoe Schapa, and we're about to go live to the Marbleton Town Hall for this second in the series of candidate forums. These forums are being sponsored by Pinedale Collision Center, Wild Horse Realty, Diamond G Electric, and Slider Construction. And they are brought to you in conjunction with KPIN Radio, PinedaleOnline.com, the Pinedale Roundup, and the Sublette Examiner. Bob Rule, are you ready to roll?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay, Zoe?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Zoe. Welcome to our radio audience, and also welcome to everybody here in Marbleton at Marbleton Town Hall as we do the second of two candidate forums tonight. This forum is being broadcast live on KPIN Radio. For those of you listening on the radio, there's still a few seats here at Town Hall. If you'd like to come and see it live, come on out to Marbleton Town Hall, and you're welcome to participate. The candidates that are at our forum tonight include Sublette County Rural Healthcare District trustee candidates. They include Sublette County attorney candidates, and they also include House District 20 candidates. That's the south part of our county, and it's also shared down in some other parts too, down towards Kemmer. But these are the people that will represent the south part of our county. They're both here. And we are going to start the event with, I'm not sure who's going to ask questions. Casey? All right, Casey Dean of the Pinedale Roundup will be asking the questions. Now, here's how we are obtaining the questions. We've had people bringing them by the newspaper, emailing them in, stopping us all on the street, submitting ideas, and we've tried to take the questions that were submitted and merge them into simply as few a questions as possible, because a lot of them are very, very similar. For people who are listening right now on the radio who would like to participate, Don Ballou has, you got your printer all hooked up? She's got everything hooked up here, computer, printer, and she's ready to print out emails. The email address for the forum tonight to submit a question via email is forum@pinedaleonline.com. Again, that's forum, F-O-R-U-M, at pinedaleonline, and that's all run together, .com. forum@pinedaleonline.com. You have to say it three times for radio sometimes. But anyway, she is here ready to take questions, and we'll try to incorporate questions from the radio audience via email. For those of you here in person tonight, who has the index cards? Derek Farr. I keep wanting to call him Jamie Farr, but that's Klinger. That's Klinger. Not Corporal Klinger. Derek Farr. Has pens, paper, notepads, or note cards. If you would just simply raise your hand and get his attention, he will bring you a slip of paper and a pen. You can write your question out, and then up here at the professional journalism table, they will try to merge the various different questions into a few hard-hitting questions, we hope. My name is Bob Rule. I am not a journalist. I just play one on the radio is all. I'm actually an electrical engineer. But these are the true journalists, and they're the ones who are handling the questions tonight. The forum is a joint presentation of the Pinedale Roundup, the Sublette Examiner, PinedaleOnline.com, and KPIN Radio. Now, let's get underway. For our first round, we are going to ask the candidates to just take, 2 minutes? to take 2 minutes and give a brief introduction and maybe a little why we should vote for you, a little bit of your background that would be of interest to the voters. In using these wireless microphones, a couple of suggestions. Number one, if you talk like this, they cackle. So don't put it into your mouth or it'll cackle and crackle and sound like the place is on fire. Hold it off to the side of your mouth a little bit because they are a little sensitive to crackling. The other thing is when your group is not using the microphones, go ahead and leave them turned off just so we don't have another dead battery situation like we did Tuesday. But when you do turn them on, there's about a 2-second delay between when you turn it on and it's ready to go. So if you're the one who's getting ready to turn the microphone on, turn it on a little bit before you're ready, and then just pass it from person to person. We are going to rotate the order of who goes first throughout the evening, but for the purpose of doing introductions, we're starting with the Rural Healthcare Board trustees, and our first respondent to introduce herself is Laura Clark.
Okay, I hope that was 2 seconds. Yeah, it must have been. Hi, I'm Laura Clark. It's nice to see a great turnout here, and all you folks who are interested in this forum tonight. A little bit of background about myself. I grew up in Big Piney. I left for quite a few years, which was good, and then got to come back. I'm interested in running for the Rural Healthcare Board because I do have experience in healthcare. I've been in healthcare since 1996. I am a registered radiologic technologist. I've also served in management in radiology since 2000. I've been in several places, learned several things, served not on necessarily board of trustees, but worked very closely with them. And so I think that my experience can lend something to the Rural Healthcare Board in our county. I think that our previous boards have done an excellent job with what they had to deal with. I think there are some things that we can do to change and make things better. And I believe that that's what our community wants. We don't want to see anything go downhill here. We want to go uphill because that's what we're all about. I don't really know what else to tell you about myself, except that, you know, it's, I'm hoping that I can answer questions that anybody has tonight, and if not, I can get back to people. So I'm going to go ahead and hand off.
There we go. Thank you very much to Laura Clark for the introduction. Now, incidentally, all right, switch microphones and try again. What I'm thinking is that we should let the audience know at the end of the evening, I think pretty much all of the candidates will make themselves available for one-on-one conversations, and you will have this chance to get to talk with the people and the candidates back and forth. Going on to our next candidate for Rural Healthcare District, Dave Rasich.
Good evening. I appreciate everybody's turnout, some familiar faces, some unfamiliar. Thanks again to all of the folks that put this thing on. And I hope that, I moved here officially in 1982, came over as a pipe fitter welder, chased the oil field around, helped build DHI over here. First ran for the Rural Healthcare Board probably in 84 maybe sometime. Served a couple terms, got out, and I'm just wanting to fulfill an obligation in the job. The job that got started, I think it needs to be continued. There's the board that was previous to this one here has some great ideas about how the healthcare district should be ran, and I still want to continue that, see it through to its maturity. And I'm a partially good listener. My wife got one ear, but I still have another one, so by any means, give us a call, and I hope to answer all your questions tonight. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That was candidate Dave Rasich. Our next candidate is Jacob Porter.
Hi, I'm Jake Porter. A little bit about myself. I've been living in Sublette County for about 4 years, a short timer for most of you, so don't plan on going anywhere. This is where I want to make my home. Decide to run for the health care board because I think there's some changes that could be made, and I just want to have a good conservative voice in there. So if you have any questions, feel free to talk to me after, or hopefully you'll get to hear a little bit more of what I stand for through this. So thanks.
Candidate Jacob Porter. Our next candidate for Rural Health Care Board, Shannon Cave.
Hi, I'm Shannon Cave. I know some of you people and other ones I have only seen. I've been a longtime resident of Marbleton and Big Piney permanently since 1997. I wanted to run for the board so that we have an opportunity to get some new people in on the board and get some new ideas or policies or something going, and I want to ensure that we keep our good health care providers still here, and anything that anybody needs to ask me, I will be more than happy to answer any question, and if I can't find get an answer, I will get you one. So thank you for all of you being here and listening.
That was candidate Shannon Cave. Now, for those of you in the room, it seems a little silly that I keep saying their names, but for the people listening on the radio, I was told it's very beneficial if the name is given at the beginning and the end, so that's for the benefit of the radio audience. Candidate Scott Sherbel.
We'll try this once more. I'm Scott Sherbel. I've been a Big Piney most of my life. I lived 4 years in Jackson and two living abroad in Germany. I care very much about the rural health care in Big Piney. My father was one of the instigators of the rural health care, and I'd like to see it continue. The reason I'm running is I was called up and said, Scott, you need to run for office. You could do a good job on the Rural Health Care Board. With a vote of confidence like that, I couldn't resist it, because I had been concerned with the rumors and discussion that Marbleton might be shut down, the clinic might be shut down because of the cost concerns. I felt that would be an inappropriate method, and I felt I was willing to put forth my effort to make sure their health care continues well. I have a lot of experience in handling budgets. I'm part owner of Severa Sherbel. We've been successful in business for all of my lifetime, since the early 50s. I run a Boy Scout camp in the summer for 8 weeks. I have a staff of 64 people. We have a community of 350 people changing each week, so I know a little bit about handling people and situations and diversity. Why you should vote for me, I'm sure, as all the candidates, that we will do our best job to make an effective changes if changes need to be made in the rural health care, that we can be a financially responsible board, and that we can regain the trust of the community, which I think has been lost.
All right, thank you very much to candidate Scott Sherbel. And I figured out the mic problem. The switch was only halfway on. So I guess when you do the switch, push it all the way to on to make sure it works. We have three other candidates for Rural Healthcare District: Debbie Thompson, Kurt Cordingley, and Amy Cahill. But we have vacant chairs right now. They do not appear to be in attendance. If they are delayed and you can still get here, please come. We've saved a seat for you. Your name tag is here. You're more than welcome to join in progress if there's been a delay in your getting here. But that is the first round of introductions for Rural Healthcare District. Remember, we will be electing three people to the Rural Healthcare District, so it's not a matter tonight of saying which one of these people do you want. You need to ask yourself which three do you want. Now, we're going to go next to County Attorney. This might be a good place for me to read this announcement just before we start, County Attorney. We received a press release from the Sublette County Sheriff's Office late this afternoon. I'm going to read it verbatim. The Sublette County Sheriff's Office is offering up to a $10,000 reward for information pertaining to the arrest and conviction of the person or persons involved in the assault of a young woman in her residence on July 25, 2010. Please contact the Sublette County Sheriff's Office Dispatch Center at 367-4378, extension 0, if you have any information. Again, $10,000 reward to help arrest and convict the person involved in that assault. Let's go now to county attorney. We have two county attorney candidates. You will be voting for one. Lucky McMahon is our current county attorney. She is the incumbent that has been working in the county attorney's office. Her challenger in this election is Neil Stelting, who just took second place in pig wrestling with a time of 16 seconds along with his team, and a thumbs up to Neil for his second place win in pig wrestling. He's certainly not afraid to get down in the mud and get dirty. But I better can the wisecracks. Let's start with Lucky McMahon. Lucky McMahon, did I get that right? McMahon, our incumbent Sublette County attorney. Lucky.
Thank you. My name is Lucky McMahon. I am your present incumbent county attorney and prosecutor. I've been in the position for a little over 2 years. Before that, I was a deputy prosecutor in the same office for a year. During my tenure there, we've started a lot of new programs. We have a juvenile diversion program, a victim witness coordination program, and right now we're working with other agencies, starting a SARD, a sexual assault response team, a domestic violence intervention team, and also work with the Prevention Coalition. Also during my tenure, our conviction rate has been 97%. Our trial rate has been 82% success in trials. We have worked hard to improve our office. We still have things that we want to improve on, things that we want to move toward. We want to build some stability in the office, and I believe that I'm the best candidate for this office because I have the experience. I've been prosecuting for over 3 years now every day, and before I was a prosecutor, I was in private practice in Arkansas. I was a corporate attorney part-time and had my own private practice for part-time. I'm a single mother. I have two grown sons. I'm not sure. Every time I say they're grown, I think, when do they get old enough that you can really say your kids are grown? It never feels like that. But I've raised two sons. I know what it's like to have teenagers and for them to go through their trials in life. And so I feel like I have a bond with the families and parents in this community. I would appreciate any support, and I would just like to continue doing the job that we're doing and improving what we're doing. And anytime you have any questions that you would like to ask of me, I'd be glad to answer the questions tonight or any other time. Thank you.
All right. That was candidate Lucky McMahon for Sublette County Attorney. The other candidate, candidate Neil Stelting.
Thank you, Bob. I'd also like to take this moment to thank all of the candidates, including the ones who are here tonight, as well as those who spoke at the debate the other night. I think as we all have felt over the last few months, whether you've put your neck on the chopping block or you put the bullseye on your back, in some degree we've all taken risks in trying to do what we all believe is right. I think everybody has valid motives for why they're running, and it'll be up to the good citizens of Sublette County to decide who's got the either the best motives or the best experience. With regard to my experience, other than my newfound skills of wrestling down pigs in the mud, I graduated from the University of Wyoming in 2004, which is the same year that Lucky graduated from law school. As far as practicing law, we have approximately the same amount of time being licensed attorneys. In the years that I've been a licensed attorney, I have run the public defender's office here in Sublette County for 2 years. I've owned a private law firm for 4 years, doing a wide variety of civil cases, everything from oil and gas to complex construction cases to complex litigation to, of course, criminal defense. I've also been a magistrate judge for 2 years, and I feel like with my experience and the fact we've been practicing for the same amount of time, I have a much broader and wide range of legal experience that will assist not only in representing the community in the criminal arena for the prosecution side of things, but more importantly in the civil arena as well, because that is a large component of what the county attorney does. And so I thank all of you for being here. It is wonderful that you've taken this evening with the fair going on to be a part of this process. I'd like to thank Lucky. I have appreciated working with her, and I appreciate the service that she has provided to this county that does not need to be overlooked in these elections. I am running because I feel like there are important improvements and change that can be brought to the county attorney's office. And I hope that through the questioning of tonight and through questioning at the booth at the fair and any other time you have, that you will agree with what I'm attempting to accomplish. Thank you.
That was candidate Neil Stelting. Now, if we end up with only one microphone that works well by the end of the evening, we'll be in good shape. But I'm going to trade microphones because yours is making a hissing noise. And what I want to do now is to introduce our House District Number 20 candidates. Now, House District Number 20 includes Marbleton, Big Piney, basically what we call the South County, and then also dips down into other parts. I believe Farson is in there. It goes down towards Kemmer. So our county is cut in half, pretty much, when it comes to representation in Cheyenne and the state legislature. House District 22 goes from about Boulder northward, and we had those candidates on two nights ago. Tonight, since we're down here in the South County, we have the two South County candidates, Kathy Davison and Jim Mickelson. We'll start our introductions with Kathy Davison. Kathy?
Thank you. My name's Kathy Davison. I'm honored to be here tonight, and I want to thank the sponsors, the audience, and the candidates for their time tonight. I've been your representative for the...
Earth to space. I'm going to give her back the original microphone. It was a little hissy, but at least it may depend on where you're standing, because we're using a wireless mic system, and it looks like maybe Kathy is over here in the dead zone. And if we come over here, Kathy, if you don't mind, we may have to have you stand over to wherever this thing starts to work.
All right. Yeah, I am in the dead zone. I've been your representative for the past 6 years. My husband, Ron, and I have been married for 48 years. We had four children. My youngest daughter was killed about 10 months ago. We have nine grandchildren and four great-grandchildren. We have a ranch near Kemmer. And I've been in public service for 33 years. I've worked in law enforcement, emergency management, and I was a county commissioner in Lincoln County for 12 years. I believe that I have represented the citizens in my district in every area very well. I've carried bills that were specific for Sublette County. In fact, I passed two bills this year and one 2 years ago specifically for Sublette County. This year I was able to get five bills passed, and I believe in the Wyoming way of life. I believe in pro-life. I've been endorsed by YWatch. I believe in states' rights, and I believe we have to really look at what we're doing on state rights. And then I believe in the gun rights, and I've been endorsed by the Wyoming gun owners. I've co-sponsored tax relief, and I've endorsed bills from the unborn to the elderly. And I think that the bills that I have introduced and passed have been good for all of these ages, for all of these people, for all the people in my district. And if you want to learn about those bills, you can look in my brochure and you'll see the bills that I passed. One last year specifically for Sublette County was the Roadless Bill, which is a bill that gives the I'm running out of time, so you'll have to read about it. But I think that my experience is very important at this time in our society, I think in our government, and I think that I'm the best candidate for you to vote for me. Thank you.
That was candidate Lucky. No, I'm sorry. She was standing in front of Lucky McMahon's sign. That is House District Number 20 candidate Kathy Davison. Kathy, I know you better than that. Sorry. Kathy Davison, who just finished speaking. Now, we'll find out if the wireless microphone works for candidate Jim Mickelson. The wireless mic receiver is in this closet, and you're on the opposite side of the room, and if this keeps acting up, we may have to kind of do a rearranging and bring you closer to the wireless mic receiver. But if he's not standing in a dead zone, here is candidate Jim Mickelson.
Good evening, everyone. It is? Okay. I've used to come to one of these or into a room full of people like this and know almost everybody here. Anymore, I don't. I'm Jim Mickelson. I'm a fourth-generation rancher in Sublette County. My family has been here since the late 1800s. My family's been involved in politics. I always said I'd never get involved, and then I got onto the Board of Ag. I served 4 years there and decided why not. And it is a very learning experience. I know the learning curve is awfully steep. Kathy's done a wonderful job for 6 years, three terms. And I just thought Sublette County needs some representation. However, I will not only represent Sublette County, it will be South Lincoln from Cokeville all the way around and the northern Sweetwater, which includes Farson Eden and that area. I really don't know that I'm the best candidate, but I would like to be your candidate. And I would also like at this time to thank the sponsors, Pinedale Online, The Roundup, The Examiner, and KPIN for doing this forum. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was candidate Jim Nicholson. And I am thinking we may need to do a little rearranging of candidates. I think we got a consensus. Who wants to take charge? Don, do you want to figure out a way to rearrange things? We will continue to keep the empty seats available should one of our other candidates show up late. But because there is so much difficulty with the wireless mic pickup on the far end of the room, it just makes more sense to bring the candidates to the other end. But in the meantime, we can certainly start asking our first question of the Rural Healthcare District candidates. And asking that first question will be the editor of the Pinedale Roundup, Casey Dean.
All right. Y'all hear me all right? Yeah? Okay. Question. 1 minute to respond to all questions. And if a candidate directs a response or a comment to another candidate, that candidate has 30 seconds to respond or rebut. So.
And our first respondent will be Dave Rasich.
Well, I think the continued quality health care and to make sure that we staff the clinics and have adequate EMTs, working with not only the doctors but also the retirement center. I think there's a need that we can share tools with the retirement center, things that can help us both in far as medical records is going to be a huge expense for the county, and perhaps we can partner with the retirement center to get some funding for those things.
Candidate Dave Rasich. Responding next, candidate Jacob Porter.
Well, I think probably the main concern is that taxpayer dollars being spent right now. I think the healthcare board just needs to be more transparent and justify their spending, and I'd like to be a voice for the taxpayer.
Candidate Jacob. Our next respondent, candidate Shannon Cave.
I think I agree that the primary issues is, of course, how the budget is being spent, but I also think that we need to ensure, first of all, that we keep quality medical care at both ends of the county 24/7. And I would definitely look into every way I can to ensure that that happens.
Candidate Shannon Cave. And our final candidate, nope, we have one more at the other end of the table. I almost left somebody out. But our next candidate, Scott Sherbel.
I definitely think that the main issue is our fiscal responsibility. The fact that we're campaigning for higher taxes means that there's too much money being spent, I think, and the money seems to be not in the quality of health care. We have great doctors and great nurses, great people serving. I think we just have too much management from everything that I've seen and heard. And that's the first place I would look, is to bring it down to a rural management style instead of a large city hospital style. I think that's the way to resolve most of the fiscal problems.
Candidate Scott Sherbel. Now, we'll pass the microphone clear to the other end of the table and pick up this time at Laura Clark.
I have to kind of echo some of the things I've heard here. I think that the main concerns that I have heard from people I've talked to in the county are fiscal responsibility. I know that it's been a huge concern about transparency with the budget. That was a large concern. I happen to think that if you have nothing to hide, then you shouldn't try to. And I would like to see that become a lot more transparent. There's a responsibility of the board members in the clinics to give that information to our citizens, the ones who are paying for the services in this county. I think we have excellent staff members in our rural health care clinics. I think that our nurses and all of our staff are, I'm getting a sign, are very qualified, do a very good job, and are very appreciated. I think that fiscal responsibility is a very, very big issue as well as transparency.
All right, candidate Laura Clark. That completes the first round of questions for the Rural Healthcare District. We're now going to switch to Sublette County Attorney.
All right, well, it's my turn anyway. So I would like to remind you guys over there to Tyler and to Don as far as times. They'll wave their signs for you. Your first question is, what is your current success rate and how do you calculate? We'll respond first.
Candidate Neil Stelting.
Well, my current success rate has to be measured by my private practice because that's what I've been doing for the last 4 years. I built a, because of the assistance and help and confidence that the people of Sublette County have provided me, I've built a very high-quality law firm. I feel we provide excellent legal services. With regard to looking at the county attorney's office as far as issues that I would like to address within that office, the primary concern that I have for the county attorney's office is addressing the lack of jury trial victories over the last 4 years. In the last 4 years, which is not all of Lucky's term, the county attorney's office has lost 25 of 31 jury trials. And since her tenure, they have lost 8 of 10 jury trials. Now, you can water that down with bench trials for speeding tickets, but that's a huge concern and something that I'd like to address.
Candidate Neil Stelting. And our next candidate for a Sublette County Attorney to answer, Lucky McMahon.
Wasn't all the way on. I believe your question was, what is the success rate and how do we come to that? We have a 97% conviction rate, and during my tenure, I'm not going to speak for the tenures of those county attorneys before my time, and we come to that rate, the same system that the Department of Justice uses, the same system that every county attorney's office in the state of Wyoming uses, and that is every case that comes through our office is counted as a statistic. That includes everything from traffic to misdemeanors to felonies to murders. Every case that comes through our office is counted in our statistics. And in those statistics, we have a 97% conviction rate. Now, that conviction rate includes trial successes, plea bargaining, or guilty pleas. As far as the jury trials, I think maybe I'll get a chance to speak to that later. Legislation has just changed that will cause us to be much more successful in the future. And the percentage rates are done by jury trials and bench trials put together. That's the way the entire state does it. And we have an 82% success rate in our trials. Thank you.
Candidate Lucky McMahon. To House District 20 candidates, and Casey Dean will ask the question.
Sorry. Your first question, and I believe Jim will be responding first. This year, the legislature made cuts to county and local funding. If the economic downturn continues, what would you cut next?
And beginning with the answers, candidate Jim Mickelson.
As far as county and local, I think they've cut us far enough. I think they better go, if they're going to cut, they better start at the state level and leave us alone. However, something that has come to my attention, and I don't know the whole thing, but we have a thing in here in Big Piney that the citizens of Subla County voted down, and now the town or towns are building it. And I don't know if that's coming state money or what, but that's one place that I would look at cutting. Thank you.
Candidate Jim Nevelson. Next to respond, candidate Kathy Davison.
I believe we are going to be looking at cutting this year. Our budget's low again, and I think that one of the things we need to do is find a mechanism for our county and cities so they have an insurance of the money they're getting instead of waiting for every 2 years for us to set the budget. I think that this year we'll probably be doing some cutting and looking at all of the new programs that have been started, and those are the first things that I would look at to see what is really necessary. However, the state has cut back as well, so those are not that's not a new concept. We're looking at all of the budgets from the state down. Thank you.
Candidate Kathy Davison. And that completes this round of questions. We're now going to go to the second round of questions. Answering each time, we are shifting the person over, so they do respond each go-around in a different order. Casey, I'll let you ask the first question of the Rural Healthcare District.
All right. Do we have a problem retaining our doctors? If so, why?
And starting with the answer is candidate Jacob Porter.
Well, as far as I can tell, we do have a problem keeping the doctors, and I'm not sure where the issue is. It seems like some of them on the south end keep getting pushed out, and I don't know what we got to do to fix it. I think a lot of the problem is holding the board and holding the CEO responsible for the cuts they're making, and not getting these good doctors under contract and taking care of them.
Jacob Porter. Responding next, Shannon Cave.
Yes, I do think. Okay. I do think there's a problem keeping doctors here, and there has been for quite a while. And it's a lot to do with the doctors aren't allowed to run the clinics in the way they would like to. And there has to be another way to work this out to keep the people we have and to encourage more to come here. Thank you.
Candidate Shannon Cave. Our next candidate, Scott Sherbel.
I agree with the others. There has been a problem with retaining doctors. I think the problem, from everything that I've heard, lies directly with the board. Conflict between either personality or grievances that just don't get aired properly, and the doctors seem to, it's easier to leave than to stay and fight it out under the personalities involved. I think it's, again, a management situation that we've had great doctors here, and they've suddenly seemed to be on their way out because of conflict with board. I think that needs to be resolved in a trust issue.
Candidate Scott Sherbel. Next, we move the mic to the other end of the table, and candidate Laura Clark.
Well, I think that in South County we have had some difficulty retaining doctors. After working with doctors for a while, they're a different sort. And I don't mean that in a bad way. They are just a different sort. God bless our doctors. I think that I have to agree that there has been some conflict that has been, for whatever reason, unresolvable with our doctors and the board members and staff members. I think that a lot of it has been personality conflict, and there must be a way to work that out. I think that the board should be a little more involved as far as some of those personality conflicts go and some of the policy procedures that that actually impact that. I think we have in this county a very we have a huge amount to offer people from out of the county. We have an excellent area for them to live. We have a lot to offer. We have a community that is just grand. So I know that there's a way we can resolve it. Thank you.
Candidate Laura Clark. Our next candidate, Dave Rasich.
I don't agree with all those statements. That I think we the doctor that we that did leave down here left of his own accord. He was offered a contract, refused that contract. As far as the board being involved in issues that micromanaging, that was not part of where I felt this board should be at. That's what we have a CEO, and that's what we have a chain of command for. The one thing the service did show me is that you need a chain of command. You don't need, and board members have to be involved with their CEO to get those things resolved in-house. But I don't think that the board is responsible for taking on the policies or the whims of different people in our employment.
And does that complete our round? All right. Where we start. Might, or is it a smoke alarm? The people in this part of the room have real good wireless mic pickup, and as we get further away, it gets real scratchy. If any of you are noticing a lot of scratchiness as you speak, feel free to just step over here and stand a little closer to the head table, and maybe your microphone will quit crackling, and it'll come across a little clearer. Cell phones obviously work in this room just fine. All right, we're going to go over to Casey Dean. And Casey, I also figured out something. When my microphone...
So I can go now. Okay, county attorney. I should point out that we do have these rules established that if a comment or question is addressed to a different candidate, the other candidate gets some extra time. And Lucky did get a little bit extra time on the last question, just in case anybody was keeping track. So I just wanted to point that out. Let's jump into the next question, and Lucky will respond first. Can the county attorney's office do anything to change a community concern that women are disproportionately the targets of violent crimes in Sublette County?
Well, the county attorney's office has started working with two different programs. One of them is, like I said, a SART sexual assault response team that is going to try to deal better with the problems of women that are assaulted sexually in our community. Another is we work closely with SAFE, which is that deals with women in domestic violence situations. We're starting a program with SAFE and with the medical community and the mental health community that is domestic violence intervention. It is proportionally the same all around the United States that women are the victims of violent crimes more often than men are. It seems like they are targets. In the instance that we have now where we have a female that has been assaulted and we're working, the sheriff's office is working very hard, but as far as the county attorney's office doing something to change who men target, it's a safety issue that we are concerned about all the time, and we work with the sheriff's office to find any solutions that we can. Thank you.
Lucky McMahon. Answering next, candidate Neil Stelting.
Could I have you repeat that question? I think I may have.
Absolutely. Where is it? Can the county attorney's office do anything to change a community concern that women are disproportionately the targets of violent crimes in Sublette County?
As long as those violent crimes continue, I don't know that the county attorney's office can do anything to address those concerns. The county attorney's office role comes into play after the crime has been committed. I have worked and provided pro bono services to SAFE, who helps women who are the victims of violent crime, and I will continue to do that. I will pledge that while I'm in the county attorney's office, I will continue to work cooperatively with those programs and any other programs that provide those services. As an important component to the county attorney's office, it should remain a priority. Protecting victims has to be a priority. And so as far as changing the concern, if the violent crimes continue, there's nothing I can do about the concern, but I can certainly address it once it comes into my office.
Candidate Neil Stelting. We now switch to House District Number 20, as Casey Dean has a separate question for the state representative candidates. Casey?
All right. What kind of legislation do you plan on, either on your own or as a co-sponsor, supporting to ensure our sovereignty and states' rights?
Kathy Davison.
Thank you. I've been looking at some legislation to copy some other states. I think Arizona has some laws that we need to look at. I think Missouri has some laws we need to look at. And at this point, I haven't worked on any, but I have some in mind with some other co-legislators that we're working on.
Candidate Kathy Davison. Answering next, candidate Jim Mickelson.
Well, I agree with Kathy. We have to stand up to the federal government, as Arizona has done and as Missouri has done on the immigration. I think we have to stand up to them on our gun control. As far as legislation, I couldn't say where I will be, what I would do, but I will work on it if I am elected. Thank you.
And that was candidate Jim Mickelson. Questions? Second round? Okay, we're about to go on to the third round. We end up taking a break somewhere in this event, but I would suppose, unless anybody is waving their hand at me, next round of questions. Casey Dean.
Good. All right. Next to answer first will be Shannon Cave, correct? Okay. What do you think the rural health care district future election to increase its mills?
Shannon Cave.
I think that they definitely need to be totally transparent to win any future increase in mills. I believe that we need to find out where all this money went to begin with and why. And what was the purpose of having to try to get some more mills when I believe we could have done some other cutting as far as management and put it back into working staff? Thank you.
Candidate Shannon Cave. Answering now, candidate Scott Sherbel.
I think Shannon hit it on the head. There will be no opportunity to have an increase in mill levy until the health care has gained the trust of the people and showing that the money is being well spent, properly spent in the best manner, and that there is still a shortfall. When that trust and responsibility is shown and then there's a shortfall, I think the citizens of this county will jump to provide the necessary funding.
Candidate Scott Sherbel. Now, going back to the beginning of the table, we'll hear next from candidate Laura Clark.
I have to agree with the other candidates. I think that our citizens are very supportive, very giving, and that is true when it is necessary and when there is a trust. I think there has been a problem with the trust factor as of late. I think that the healthcare district has actually done an excellent job lately with the failure of the mill levy passing of rectifying themselves and showing that they can do without it, and I would like to see that continue. We are in a point in our lives right now where funding is not just out there for the grab. It needs to be looked at, and it needs to be looked at very, very carefully and weighed very carefully.
Candidate Laura Clark. Answering next, candidate Dave Rasich.
I'd also have to concur with the rest of the board here about transparency. as a board member, I think we did do a good job in cutting our budget to a zero balance this year. Next year, we're going to be in the same boat, given the fact that our employees haven't had a raise in 2 years, and a lot of you folks, wherever you've been working, have probably not had the opportunity of having a raise also. But I feel that it's going to become an issue at some point down the line to keeping EMTs, manning these the ambulances, and getting good people to man our clinics and our staff. Thanks.
Candidate Dave Rasich. And our last respondent on this go-around of questions, candidate Jacob Porter.
Well, I agree with the rest of them. We need to, they need to be able to justify their spending if they want more money. They did do a good job cutting the budget and did a good enough job they could give everybody a bonus. So, like they said, nobody else has had a raise in a long time. I know I haven't. I didn't get a bonus this year either, so there's more cuts that can be made.
And that was candidate Jacob Porter. And that concludes the round of questions for Rural Health Care District this time. We now go on to Sublette County Attorney Casey Dean.
All right. We are zipping through these questions, by the way, so much faster than Tuesday night. So if you guys have questions, we're probably going to get to them. Go ahead and write them down and bring them up to us. For the county attorney, how do you plan to establish or continue a working relationship with the Sublette County Sheriff's Office and the judicial system to provide justice?
Responding will be candidate Neil Stelting.
The county attorney's relationship with the Sheriff's Department is absolutely critical. Over the past, I've seen a disconnect between the two departments, and I think a part of that has been a lot of losses in the jury trial arena. I think when you lose in those settings and when criminals are not held accountable, what I have noticed is a finger-pointing contest as to who's to blame. The first thing that I will do is have a great and open dialogue with whoever becomes sheriff. And then we are going to work very hard to bring in attorneys who can convict people in jury trials, such as the individual who committed this battery over in Pinedale. We will begin to prepare better. We will be more skilled in trials. And when you start winning together, you start working better together. And that, I think, is going to be the formation. Open dialogue and success together.
Candidate Neil Stelting. And responding next, we'll hear from candidate Lucky McMahon. Lucky?
Bill turned it off on me. The county attorney's office at this present time has a very good working relationship with the sheriff's office, and I would ask that any of you that have any doubt of that would speak to the members of the sheriff's office, and you'll find that that's true. The frustration on the part of any loss of trials has been because of the writing of the legislature in DUI laws. For the past several years, the wording of the statute has caused loopholes that our defense attorneys have taken advantage of and has caused it to be hard to get a conviction in DUIs. The prosecutors across the state have complained about this. This year, the legislators acknowledged that and changed the wording of the statute to take that loophole out so we can meet our burden and get convictions in DUIs, and that has been our main problem, but not only ours, but across the state. The sheriff's office understands that. We work together, and they with us are pleased that this legislation has changed so that we can bring DUI defendants to justice and stop DUIs in our county.
Candidate Lucky McMahon. All right, we now go on to House District number 20. Microphone. Boy, I think our microphones are on the same frequency because we only have one on at a time. We can turn each other's mics off. We know that now. Anyway, asking the question, and I'll turn mine off now. Here is Casey Dean to ask a question of Jim Mickelson. Kathy Davison. All right. Kathy will answer first.
Are you ready? Okay. Your question is, what incentives do you support that could encourage established businesses to keep their doors open?
Thank you. I think that we have to continue to work on a new business rate, cut rate. excuse me, tax rates, tax cuts, give them the business-ready community some chance to get started. And I think there are grants out there still. But I think that Wyoming is working very hard to do that presently, and I think we can improve on that. Thank you.
It was candidate Kathy Davison. Answering next, Jim Mickelson.
I think the tax incentive that the state has to be worked on or helped a little bit, but I think our business council, the state business council, is where we're going to have to go to get our support to keep these businesses going. That's all I can say right now is the business council is working very hard at that.
Candidate Jim Mickelson. I think we have the order wrong, or did we? Well, it didn't matter. You both did a good job. Thank you very much. All right, going back for the next round of questions, we will be starting this time with Scott Sherbel. Does that sound right? All right, let's let Casey Dean ask the question. By the way, this is KPIN Pinedale, for those of you on the radio, because it's 7 o'clock and I had to give the station ID. Casey?
Are we on? Okay. How do you feel about the Rural Healthcare District's foundation?
Candidate Scott Sherbel.
Well, I think a foundation is always a great idea. However, I'm very concerned about this one because of the apparent conflicts of interest where we have the same people running and managing the day-to-day facilities and managing the affairs of the foundation. I think there's some problem there. It may be okay legally, but it leaves a feeling and a bad taste in the mouth, and I think there's some changes that need to be made there in order for that to be successful. And so that, I would certainly be concerned about that issue and look to see if we could make a change there.
Candidate Scott Sherbel. Responding next will be candidate Laura Clark.
Well, I agree with Scott. I think that a foundation is a tremendous asset to any kind of medical facility. I have worked in places where the foundation did wonderful, wonderful things for the facility. They provided grant money, went out there and got it. They rounded up the community and got donations. They supplied equipment money that never would have happened without it. But again, I agree with Scott that some of the workings or dealings with the foundation as it is seems to have people up in arms a little bit and a little bit concerned. It's possible that maybe it should be a separate entity and run on its own. I'm not sure how that can happen, but I think that there can be a solution.
Laura Clark. Responding next, candidate Dave Rasich.
Well, I think the foundation is a worthwhile cause. right now, we have a separate foundation director. We have two board members from the Suffolk County Rural Healthcare District sitting on that board, along with our CEO. The reason we did that was to make sure that this foundation was on the same plane and after the same objectives that the healthcare district is. We didn't want a foundation going out and raising money for specific items that we felt maybe would not help the health care of this county. So that's why we have the separation, but yet we want to make sure that that foundation is following our mission statement and they proceed to try to raise funds to supplement budgetary shortfalls.
Candidate Dave Rasich. Answering next, candidate Jacob Porter.
I agree with the conflict of interest, and just to add to that, I'd like to just, from what I understand, it's funded by taxpayer dollars right now, and I think taxpayers should have a voice in that.
Candidate Jacob Porter and candidate Shannon Cave.
I do agree with part of the candidates on everything that they've said. I would have rather seen the money be put forth to maybe some type of a fund that could have went into providing some assistance for all these people that are having a hard time paying their bills, rather than create a foundation and another salaried position. I would volunteer to be on that board for free.
Candidate Shannon Cave, and that completes the round of questions for Rural Healthcare District. I might remind people again, you will be electing three candidates. You'll be voting for three, and we will be electing three candidates for Rural Healthcare District. Going on next to County Attorney, I'll turn it back to Casey Dean to ask the question.
Okay, who's answering first on this one?
I'm sorry,
do we remember?
That.
It is Lucky first? Okay, I just wanted to clarify. Sorry. Your question is there or should there be a job performance review for deputy county attorneys?
Lucky McMahon.
Thank you. The county attorney's office works under the umbrella of the county and the county government. At this time, there is nothing in place that has job performance reviews. One of the reasons is that all of the employees are employees of the county, and they determine whether or not they get raises, and it's not based on job performance. So if you gave them job performances and you said they did really good this year, you couldn't give them a raise or anything. You couldn't control any of the salary. But right now the county is working on a policies and procedures that will cover the whole county, and each agency under the county will fall under that umbrella. And there's discussion, and it will be determined by the commissioners and by the county agencies whether or not there will be performance evaluations included in that.
Candidate Lucky McMahon. Answering next, candidate Neil Stelting.
Is it scratchy if I stay up here? Okay. As a manager of an agency, I think you have a duty and an obligation to know the performance of your employees, and especially when you were dealing in the public service arena, and you are serving the needs of the people of Sublette County. You have to know how well your employees are performing. And I don't feel that you have to wait on the county as a whole to put forth some standards. One of the issues that the public has commented on the most is that there has been a closed-door policy and has been difficult for people, whether defendants of traffic citations or victims or witnesses, to talk to the county attorneys. I think the county attorney needs to have some input from the community, as well as input from the judges, as well as input from the sheriff's office, and all of the other agencies that deal with the county attorney's office, so that I, as a manager, know how my employees are performing.
Candidate Neil Stelting. We now move on to House District number 20. By the way, I'm looking at a picture of the House districts, and I don't know who designed House District 22 and House District 20. They're shaking their heads. They don't understand either. These are the goofiest boundaries I have ever seen for these. It looks like, is it called a gerrymander or a gerrymander? I've heard it pronounced both ways, but it's one or the other, I think, for sure. I think we got the leftover scraps, I think, when they divided up Wyoming into House districts. So just for clarity, the people responding here from House District 20 are pretty much taking in the voters south of Highway 351, and then there's a little piece out by Highway 191 that dips way down low. That's, I think, the right leg of the monster. And so, for the most part, South County is House District 20. North County is House District 22, if that helps a little bit. Casey, I'll let you ask the first question.
Keep it short and sweet. House District 20, should Wyoming raise its minimum wage?
Hearing is Jim Nicholson.
I would say yes. I don't know how much, but I would say yes.
Candidate Jim Nicholson. Next, Kathy Davison.
I believe that we need to do that. I have co-sponsored legislation to do that very thing because I think that the minimum is just too low. Thank you.
That was Kathy Davison. And that completes this particular round of questions. Now, my question for the audience, do we need a break yet, or do we keep going?
Keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling? All right, we will keep it rolling. Holler if anybody needs a break, especially... easily. Casey, I'll let you do the next question.
Healthcare duties of a board member, and how will you fulfill those duties?
First is Laura Clark.
I think the duties and responsibilities of board members is, number one, to represent the voters and their wishes as far as the health care is conducted in this county. I believe that the one of the concerns for, or one of the primary responsibilities of board members also is to make sure that fiscal responsibility is held, to make sure that policies are within the bounds of legal requirements, as well as keeping in consideration the needs of the staff members and the patients in our county. I think that the board members also have responsibility to answer to the voting public. When asked a question about what is going on with the clinic, I think they need to have an answer.
Candidate Laura Clark. Answering next, Dave Rasich.
I think Laura said it perfectly. The the duties are financial responsibilities and duties to the public to ensure quality health care. And that's it in a nutshell. I think there's no other things that can be said about that.
Dave Rasich. Next, Jacob Porter.
Well, I guess I'll have to say about the same. Just got to provide affordable health care without sacrificing service, so and justifying the spending.
Jacob. Next, Shannon Cave.
I definitely agree with what everybody has said so far. I think the primary concern should be to the citizens of all of this county and for every board member to be accountable for everything that goes on relative to that board. Thank you.
Shannon Cave. Next candidate, Scott Sherbel.
It's tough to be last on this question, but I think we're all on the same wavelength. We definitely are responsible to provide the health care facilities and then the staffing to make those facilities available and useful to the people and citizens of the county. Obviously, that takes fiscal responsibility, and we need to make sure the overhead costs are reduced, which in my mind, again, is that we need to reduce management and spend our money on the health care providers instead of managers.
And responding, Scott Sherbel. Does that take care of it? All right, back to Casey Dean for a question now for our county.
Okay. Describe your interaction with the staff at the district and circuit court. What do you or would you do to maintain a strong relationship?
I bet they know who goes first. Neil. Neil's holding the microphone. It must be Neil. So Neil Stelting responding.
One of the things that I feel that the county attorney's office has been lacking in some degree is a good dialogue and open communication with the courts. Regarding my communication with the clerks, every good attorney knows, because they teach you in law school, that you have to maintain a good relationship with the clerks because they're the ones who actually control the courts. And so that is a emphasis that I will make sure that all the attorneys and staff who work with me understand. My relationship with the clerks of both courts have been wonderful. I've had a great working relationship with Marilyn Jensen. I had a great working relationship with the staff of the circuit court up until campaign season, and then there was some division as to which court was supporting which candidate. And so I'll be looking forward to when the next 12 days are over with and we can all go back to our quality working relationship.
Candidate Neil Stelting. Next, Lucky McMahon.
It is important to have a good working relationship with everyone that you work with, the district courts, the clerks in the courts, the judges, everyone that works inside the court system. Our office does have a good working relationship with the court system. And as Mr. Stelting said, there have been some changes since the election has started. There has seemed like there's some division, but it has not come from the county attorney's office. We work professionally and fairly with the courts. We concede to what they want from us, even if at times it seems like that it's not completely necessary. I'm going to continue to have a good working relationship with them. And as far as Our attorneys having a good working relationship with the court. I know Mr. Stelting has made several comments about the attorneys not being up to par on different things, but at the same time, Mr. Stelting has also offered all the attorneys in my office a job should he be elected. Neil?
For the airwaves here. Casey and I can't have our mics on at the same time. There's some kind of conflict. Because your opponent was specifically named, this will now give Neil 30 seconds to rebut.
Security is important for everyone, especially those people with families. And I wanted to make sure, because of the contentious nature of this campaign, that those folks would understand that they would be allowed to have an opportunity to at least prove that they would be up to the requirements that I would place upon them in management. And so that is the nature of why that was exercised, and why I expressed that to them was for their own personal comfort and not because it was an endorsement of their skills at this point in time.
Handed it Neil Stelting. Casey, you might want to explain to everybody what your policy is with regard to the additional 30 seconds so we all know how it works.
Okay. Everybody gets 1 minute to answer every question. If a candidate directs a comment or question to another candidate, that candidate has 30 seconds to respond or rebut or answer that question.
Are we fair at this point? I wasn't paying particular. Wave your hand or something if you feel that we've overlooked the chance to come back to somebody. Moving on now to House District number 20. Casey, I'll let you ask the question.
Will you support legislation that raises penalties on employers whose workers die due to OSHA safety violations? Are there other tools you support for making Wyoming workplaces safer?
And responding is Kathy Davison.
I think that those cases have to be looked at case by case. I think that when you lose an employee and it's because of an unsafe act, I think you have to look at who's at fault. And, yes, we have looked at that. We have a committee right now looking at the safety in workplaces. Thank you.
Candidate Kathy Davison. Answering next, candidate Jim Mickelson.
Yes, I would support legislation that would hold the employer a little more responsible. I know it might not be his fault, but it's his place, it's his job or his business, so he is going to have to step up and help out there.
Jim Mickelson. You know, Casey, you are right. We're going through a lot more questions this time than previously. The question of the candidates. Let me give the email address again. Don Blue is standing by with her computer, her printer. We are ready to receive your emails. The email address for this project is forum@pinedaleonline.com. Again, forum, spelled F-O-R-U-M, forum@pinedaleonline.com. And when you do email in a question, indicate which race you want the question directed to. Back to Kate.
Rural Healthcare District, your next question, I believe Dave is answering this first. There's pay.
Candidate Dave Rasich.
We already did, and we cut them. The salaries were reduced across the board. Everybody got a cut. So it wasn't just that's part of our duties and our responsibilities to look at everybody's wage. And when this budgetary session came up, our CEO, along with the board that looked at all of these salaries, said we had to do something, and that was what we did.
Dave Rasich. Next, Jacob Porter.
Well, I think cuts can be made, and the guys making the most money should be the first one to take pay cuts, I think. And if they did do it, I hope they did it straight across the board, same for everybody.
Candidate Jacob Porter. Our next candidate, Shannon Cave.
I definitely agree with
Jacob over here. I think there should be some definite pay cutting, not to necessarily the district employees that have already had their benefits and overtime cut, but I would like to see it cut elsewhere. Thank you.
That it's Shannon Cave. Next respondent, Scott Sherbel.
I think the pay cuts is a great idea. I think a better idea is to eliminate the unnecessary positions. That's where I would look first.
Candidate Scott Sherbel. Our next respondent, candidate Laura.
I think that anytime you have a financial responsibility to keep things in check, you always have to look at pay cuts. I don't think that those pay cuts necessarily have to be, you know, slash in half. However, I think they need to be real. They need to be compared to other rural districts that are similar to ours. And, again, they have to be kept real. I think that we can also look for people to fill positions who are closer in proximity and just as skilled, who actually would be willing to live in our county, enjoy what our county has to offer, be a part of our county, and spend their money in our county, not take it to another state or another county. As difficult as they are, I think pay cuts are absolutely always something you have to look at.
Responding, Laura Clark. Next, that's it. We're done with that round. All right. I'm making notes here, and I still can't follow my own notes. So I started to learn that if you look at who's holding the microphone, that's the person that goes next. So if I can see your microphone, I can get it right. Going on now to county attorney, here is Casey Dean once again to ask their question.
Okay, starting with Lucky, correct? How would the county attorney's office handle prosecution of prisoners who may have previously been suspended or have been considered or contributed to their campaign?
And is it Lucky McMahon?
Well, as far as someone who has contributed or been a supporter of the campaign, I've been very careful during this election and this campaign season to not make any partnerships, affiliations, or promises to anyone as long as I'm county attorney. Every person that comes through the system is going to be treated impartially and fairly, regardless of who they are, what they've done for this campaign, or what they have not done. And I have constantly told people that even if you vote for my opponent and you tell me you're going to, that is not going to make a difference when, if you should ever come before me or I ever have any problem with that. Also, as far as someone you've defended, of course, I don't have to deal with that. I haven't defended anyone. But should my opponent become county attorney, he would be conflicted out of any case that there was anyone that he had defended or represented civilly, and the county would have to hire a special prosecutor to come in and handle those cases.
Candidate Lucky McMahon. Answering next, candidate Neil Stelting.
Defense attorneys become county attorneys all the time, and one of the values that they have is that they can see the flaws in a prosecution's case when it comes across the desk. This is not new territory for a defense attorney to become a county attorney, and this happens all across the state all the time. With regard to conflicts, the only cases in which I would have to conflict out, the only cases in which I'd have to conflict are the ones that I've represented. Most of my cases are misdemeanors. And I can tell you that as your county attorney, I will be in the courtroom trying felonies and putting those who commit crimes against the people, those who commit injury, those who abuse our community the most. And I will be handling those cases personally. There are very few people that I've represented for felonies. I will have very few conflicts. And I certainly am not going to be in a situation where I've made any promises whatsoever during campaign. That is not the basis for this. I want more disclosure. I want more discretion, a demonstration of fairness that I have not seen in the last 4 years. Thank you.
Responding, Neil Stelting. We move on now to House District Number 20, and asking the question, Casey Dean.
Okay. If elected or reelected, will you work with Sublette County Commissioners to rule legislation which will allow the county to provide its citizens property tax relief?
Responding first will be Jim Mickelson.
Yes. I have visited with one of our present county commissioners who is running and hard to sit down with the very thing. So, yes, I would. Thank you.
Jim Mickelson. Next, Kathy Davison.
Yes, I have carried legislation that's been requested by Sublette County Commissioners, and we would continue to do that. Thank you.
Candidate Kathy Davison. All right, that completes the round. Let me ask the question again. Anybody need to take a break at this point? Seeing no let's ask here. Casey?
Tuesday night, we only went through five questions for each race in about 2+ hours, and so this is like a marathon sprint. It just keeps going and going really fast. We can go until we run out of questions, and we are a little bit low on questions right now. Our absolute minimum is we'll stop at 8:30 after every race has had the same number of questions.
I think I am seeing an indication that this would be a good place to put in a little five-minute break. So for those that are wondering, the restrooms are that. We'll reconvene in about 5 minutes. Let me send it back to Zoe in the studio. And Zoe, maybe you can thank some of the people making this broadcast possible tonight.
All right. Well, thank you very much for those of you, first of all, who are listening to our broadcast. And secondly, huge thank you to our sponsors. The first sponsor that we have is the Pinedale Collision Center. It's owned by Gordon and Darlene Kelson. They are located right across the street from Oboe's. Easy to find. They're at 211 East Pine Street. The phone number there, 367-4296. 367-4296. Now they are a family shop, and Gordon has over 30 years of experience, so you can go there and get everything taken care of that you need. And don't forget that their work is guaranteed. All right, our second sponsor is Wild Horse Realty. There are two agents that work there. The broker and owner is Barb Hodges, and her agent is Terry Sellers. Great people that will take care of anything. They specialize in residential, commercial, vacant land, and ranch sales here in Sublette County and throughout Wyoming. They are a full-service real estate company representing buyers and sellers, and they also offer property management services. So this company is a great place to contact if you need any kind of real estate assistance. The phone number in the office is, they're in two locations. They've got two numbers, one here for Pinedale, 367-6631, or in Big Piney at 276-3211. Their address, though, is 235 Front Street, Big Piney. Our next sponsor is Diamond G Electric. So owned by Stephen Greenwell, who's a master electrician. He does residential and commercial work, both here in Pinedale and Big Piney. The number, 276-3900. 276-3900. And we have Slider Construction, owned by John Slider. He founded his business in 1981. He does deal primarily, but not exclusively, in concrete construction. He can help you with residential jobs such as basements and foundations, commercial work, oil field work, and agricultural concrete. And he says that trust the most important part of your investment to someone who truly knows the extreme weather and soil conditions encountered here in the high country of Wyoming. So that's John Slider at Slider Construction, 859-8257. So again, our sponsors, Pinedale Collision Center, Wild Horse Realty, Diamond G Electric, and Slider Construction. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to go ahead and listen to some music until we hear back from the folks at the Marbleton Town Hall.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay.